In the end of Parshas told us, this week's Sedra, the Torah tells us that Asa went and he married a granddaughter of Yishmael by the name of Machlas. What is it? A daughter of Yishmael. Machlas bas Yishmael. So the Medrash seems to imply that there are two girsas here, whether the correct pronunciation is Machlas with the comets under the mem or Machlas. So Rashi quotes one pshat, Hosef Risha al Rishosa. He married another Machla in addition to the first two witches that he married, that it says in the Parshvatiyan and Muras Roch Li Yitzchok al Rivka, that the parents of Esau were very aggravated with the first two wives. So he married another wife who was Machlas, Noshan Machla, Hosef Risha al Rishosa. And the other reading seems to be Machlas, that the Talmud Yerushalmi says that Shlosha, there are three people who get a Mechilas Avinas. One of them is a chosen who gets married. So we have a minhagim based on the assumption that there is a mechilas avinus when a chosen gets married. Mechilas avinus only comes in together with tshuva. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph and Hilchas Tshuva that when Bezin would administer Mises Bezin, so the Mishnah says the Bezin would encourage the person that he should say vidui, kol ha-misvadim, if a person says vidui, he'll get a mechilas avinus. When a person was given malchus, they would also say vidui. If they're getting malchus, you get mechilas avinus if you do tshuva. Yom Kippur then the Rambam says, when you bring a chatas or an asham, you have to say vidui. If you don't say vidui, you don't get a mechila. Yom Kippur is a machlekes hatanoim, where the Yom Kippur is mechaper only if you do tshuva, even without tshuva. So the Rambam paskins la'aloch, it's only mechaper with tshuva. Without tshuva, it's not mechaper. That's what the Mincha Saluza was the main, he was a mukancha, he was in Hungary. He was the main opponent to Zionism. so he says that these secular Zionists think that the concluding pasuk in Shiras Hazinu, and the Gemara in the end, the Ksubis interprets the pasuk to mean that whenever a Jewish person walks Dalan Amos in Eretz Yisrael, he gets a Mechilas Avaina. So he says, but the Bnei Yeshua writes on that Gemara, it's only if the person does tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, he doesn't get any Mechilas Avaina. That's what the Rambam emphasizes. There's no Mechilas Avaina without tshuva. So the same thing is say a Chosin or Oyla Legdula, he gets a Mechilas Avaina. That's only if he does tshuva. So we have different minhagim based on this assumption. Number one, that when the chasen davens mincha before the wedding, if the wedding is in the afternoon, otherwise if the wedding is in the morning, so he says vidui efter dishman esrav shachris. Wedding in the afternoon, he says vidui efter dishman esrav mincha. But if he doesn't say vidui, doesn't do tshuva, he's not going to get any mechilas avodas. And then there's a minig that just like on Yom Kippur, there's a din that we fast. So too, the chasen, the day of the chasen, it fasts, and the different reasons are given. So one of the reasons is because he's getting mechilas avina, so he should fast like on Yom Kippur. Other reasons are given, that he shouldn't be shikr at the time that he says harayat. And others say because he's about to do a mitzvah, so you're not, the Mishnah says in Sukkot, you're not allowed to eat before you shake the lulav and the esrog. And some say the day of a bris, the father of the baby is not allowed to eat before the bris. Let's say the bris is going to be at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to be right after Shachris. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes that. The father of the baby shouldn't eat. Same thing, they have a pidyon abet. It's not proper, the Pischei Tshuva, right? Not proper that the father should eat before he performs the pidyon abet. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you have to do today, you're supposed to do it. You're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah. We're afraid you may get so involved in eating, you'll forget to perform the mitzvah. So that's a different explanation why you have a tonus at day of the chasana. But most assume that the reason for the tonus that there's mechilas avinus like Yom Kippur. And many have the practice that the chasana wears a kittel, just like on Yom Kippur. The kohen gadol on Yom Kippur does the avod in Bigdei Lavan, represents purity, that there's mechilas avinus. So these minhagim are the minhagim of the chasen are based on the assumption that there is a mechilas avonis. In the wedding, there are two parts to the wedding ceremony. There's erisin and nisuin. In the days of the Gemara, they used to wait a whole year in between erisin and nisuin. And then they would wait a whole year. And then the Wednesday following, if the girl was getting married for the first time, so the Wednesday following the 12 months, they would have the chuppah. That's the opening mishnah ksubis psula nisus liyam ravi. If the girl's getting married for the first time, so she gets married on a Wednesday's yom harvi. If you get married at night, so we assume that Tuesday night. That's how the achrayim say. Based on the gemara, one would have thought that it should be Wednesday night. That after Bir Rishayna, he should be able to go to Bezin the next morning and complain that Pesach Pasuch Matzos, and you shouldn't wait till next week. So one would have thought that it would be Wednesday night, would be Psula Nisus, you might be able to get married at night. But the Achrenim said the meaning is get married on a Tuesday night. I got married on a Tuesday night. So that's where the expression comes from. Mevarta Yoren HaMitvach, or Senemta Mayoren HaMitvach, it takes him a year and a Wednesday, because after the Erisin, the Chosen had to do Nisuin by the Wednesday following when the 12 months were up. So in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, there was a long pause in between Erisin and Nisuin. And we have a lot of differences between Arusa and Nisua. And Arusa, if there's only Erisin, Erisin is Kiddushin. And Nisuin is Chuppah. So we have a lot of differences. Maseches Kiddushin is about Erisin, and Maseches Ksubis tells you all the dinim of Nisuin. So Erisin, Arusa, Isht Arusa, Le'onin Lava, Le'metamid Lava, Le'mefin Nidareha, In the Shibud Sheik Sisviyon only begins at the time of Nisuin. Erisin is still, the boy is still living with his parents and the girl is living with her parents. And after Nisuin, then they live together. The din is for the Bichas Erisin, the Ikirat din, you don't need a minion. The minig is that you try to have a minion. L'chatchil, you have a minion for Bichas Erisin also. But if it's a Shas HaTrak, then you don't have to have a minion. For Nisuin, it's Ma'akab. You can't recite Bichas Nisuin without Asara. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Ksubis. Bichas Nisuin can only be recited if you have Asara. And Arusa Asura Labayla Midirabban. In Atar Arusa Materis Labayla, but Midirabban, she's not allowed to live with her husband unless you have the Nisuin. So the Loshin of the Braise Masechas Kala is Kala Blei Brocha Asura Labayla Kenida. So that's a big machloikas in Ebenezer and Hilchas Nisuin. How do you translate that then? Kala Blei Brocha? If they didn't say the Bichas Nisuin, then you have to have 10 people liyikuvah by the chuppah to be able to recite Bichas Nisuin. You're going to have a chuppah without 10 people. You didn't say the bracha, she's a kala b'lai bracha, asura l'bai l'kanida. That's how the Rashba holds, l'chumra. And the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer quotes achreinim, major achreinim who disagree with the Rashba. And they say, it doesn't mean kala b'lai bracha, it means kala b'lo nisuin. The bracha is not miyakev, just like the bracha, Bichas HaMitzvah is not miyakev by tefillin, by tzitzis, by any mitzvah. If you did the mitzvah without the bracha, it's not miyakev. So if you have a chuppah, b'li asara, the chuppah is kaina, and the girl is materis labayla, and just you don't say the Bichas Nisuin. So that's the question, how do we paskin? So there used to be a dayan in London, he passed away many years ago, dayan Grosnas, label Grosnas. He was a Levi. He learned in Radin. He was a Yekke. There was a small group of Yekkes who learned in Litvish yeshivas in Eastern Europe. He was a Levi. He had the schus to wash the hands of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim was a kohen. So when they duchened, he would tell people that he was zeichet to wash the hands of the Chafetz Chaim. He learned Baruch Be'er later on. So he has tshuvas, Levarye, two volumes, very nice tshuvas. New style of tshuva is based on Rab Chaim, is based on Rab Baruch Be'er, things that he heard from his rabbi, and beautiful. And Rab Tuvia Goldstein also learned by Rab Baruch Be'er, and Rab Tuvia Goldstein, I think, spent time in Siberia, if I'm not mistaken. Then when he came here to America, he had his own, first he was a rabbi in RJJ for many years, and then he had his own yeshiva. So they both have tshuvas on this topic, and they say, halacha l'maaseh, and mekubal is, like the achrayim, that the minyan is not miyakim. So that's why now during the corona problem, many people were getting married without a minyan. And the din is that the minyan is ma'akev. You can't say Bichas Nisuin, but it's not ma'akev in the chuppah. You do the chuppah without a minyan is also good. So there are three ways to do erisin, either kesef shtar or biya. The Gemara says the chachamim prohibited kiddushei biya. It's considered a chutzpah. So you're left with kesef for shtar. And the Rambam says, Karnog, kol yisrael kaddish b'kesef. The Rambam has his pshat from Rabbi Yosef Shal Rashi that kedusha kesef is only Torah Shebal Peh, as opposed to shtar and bia, which are considered Torah Shebichzav. And that's why we mentioned on different occasions that there used to be a big time Chacham Simcha Asaf was in the Rabbanut, in the early years of the Rabbanut. He died many years ago. And he did research in Jewish history and the Karoyim. He wrote a lot. So he writes that none of the Karoyim ever held from Kiddusha Kesef because they're only known through Torah Shebal Peh. So that's perhaps why the Rambam writes, Kvanoga Kol Yisrael Kaddish B'Kesef. The meaning is by the Orthodox Jews is that they do Kiddusha Kesef. We don't even do Kesef. We do Shabbat Kesef. We give a ring. And that's what the Pischa Tshuva quotes from the Mordechai, that the meaning is you're not Mekaddish B'Kesef with cash, legal tender, you're Mekaddish with a ring. Well, the ring, that's based on a Zohar. The Rambam quotes, that's based on a Tikkun Zohar. But the meaning is that you bedavke don't use kesef, use shavik kesef. That's Torah Shabbat Peh on top of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because on the opening Mishnah in Kiddushin, the Beis Aman Aleph, there's a long discussion in Taisus and the Ramban and the Rashba. How do you know that shavik kesef is kikesef by Kiddushin? But the din is that it is kikesef. So that's the Kiddushin. That's the Erison. So again, in the days of Tanakh and the days of the Gemara, there was a long pause of a year and a Wednesday. Sometimes up until Ayur and Amitvach, in between Erison and Nisun. In the days of the Goyim, they made a takana that you shouldn't have a pause in between because the girl is an Eishes Ish. And if she's going to be Mizana with some, she's single. She's married, but the husband is not living with her. The husband living with his parents. She's living with her parents. So there's a concern. The girl is an Eishes Ish. She's not living with her husband. So she, but Mizana will be a violation of Lasinov. She'll become a Saita Asur Labailo. So the Goyim introduced the practice that you have Nisun immediately following Erisin. But Agos Maimoni on the bottom of the page on the Rambam quotes that the Rabbeinu Tam made a takona that you should have at least a zecher to the fact that in the days of Tanakh, there was a long pause in between Erisin and Nisun. So we're not going to have a pause of a whole year. Well, we have a little bit of a pause. So the Rabbeinu Tam introduced the practice that you read the Ksuba just to have a hapsoka. So the Pashta says that if the rabbi wants to hold a sermon under the chuppah, the best time to hold a sermon is right after Kriya Saksuba, because the whole purpose of the Kriya Saksuba is to make a hafsaka in between Eris and the Nisun. It shouldn't be back to back. You have a zecha to the fact that there used to be a hafsaka of a year. So if you want to have a hafsaka, the rabbi wants to talk, that's the best time to talk. And if the chazan wants to sing something, that's the best time to sing. Many have the practice that you break the glass under the chuppah in between the Eris and the Nisun. You have another hapsoka in between. The din is the Gemara learns that towards the end of Kiddushin, towards the end of Kiddushin, right, on Daf Samachay, that Kiddushin needs Eidus, what we call Eidus L'kiyam Adover. If a boy gives a girl a ring, Beino L'Beino, and there are no kosher witnesses there. And he says, Ari Amukodeshesli, even though who the he, Shnei Emoidim, the boy and the girl, they both say that that they got married, he was Mekadosher. The din is that Kiddushin is not chal unless you have two kosher Edim. Who apostle Edim? So Kroivim apostle or Rishoyim apostle. What's a Rasha? A Rasha is either a person who's not, who does an Avera, Machmas Chimud Maman. That's a person cheats in business. A person cheats in business, so he cheats on income tax. So cheating on income tax, unfortunately, even though it's an Avera, and even though people know it's an Avera, but everybody's Maraheter, unfortunately, so many people. Even people in big positions and the government positions, unfortunately, they're investigating this to Trump himself about his tax forms that he filled out before he became the president. So so maybe if you cheat in business, cheat on income tax, maybe it depends how badly you cheat. If a person doesn't cheat that much, maybe you can say it's marahet, maybe it's maybe that doesn't postulatus, but that's one kind of Russia who's postulatus, Russia de Chamas. One that does an Aver Machmas Chimed Mammon. Then another person doesn't do an Aver Machmas Chimed Mammon, but rather he does an Aver Sheshba Malkus Amisa. So again, if everybody does the Aver, so is my Reheta. There were times that many religious Jews would shave their razor. So Rebbe Kiveger writes in the Tshuva, it could be that they're kosher latest, maybe they're Maraheta. The question, he had the Shaila, a get was signed by two Edim who shaved with their razor. So the Shaila says, does it apostle a get? If the Edim who signed the get apostle, then it doesn't even help if you have Edim in Sira. because it's mizuif mitocha. The Edom who signed the pasul eidus. But Kedega raises the possibility maybe it's marehetem. But so that's one psuli eidus is a rasha, and there are two kinds of rasha: rasha de chamas and rasha de lav de chamas. Rasha de chamas means one who does averus machmas chim but mamen. Rasha de lav de chamas means one who violates an averus sheish ba malchus amisa. And then there's another din that kreivim apasle. What do you mean kreivim? Everybody is related to everybody else, unless a person is a ger. But everybody is related to each other. Just dig long enough, it'll turn out that we're 10th cousins or something. So there's a limit how far you go. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the third parak, has the whole sugya of kreivim. It's important to know. Two brothers are considered rishon berishon. If they have children, they're called Sheni B'Sheni. The second generation is Sheni B'Sheni. The uncle with the nephew is called Rishon B'Sheni. So Rishon B'Rishon is Pasul Eidus, even if you have two Balki Yishtas. Let's say you have two sisters and they're both married. So technically speaking, that's called Giso. A Gis is a brother-in-law with two Balki Yishtas. Let's say my wife's sister's husband. So I'm Balki Yishta with my wife, and my brother-in-law is Baal Kishta with his wife. So you have Rishon Merishon, the two sisters are the same first generation, and they're both married. That's Rishon Merishon with two Baal Kishta, so that's Pasul Eidus. The Ramban is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch saying that whenever you say twice Baal Kishta, that's a dead giveaway. It's only Midirabbanan. Baal Kishta only works Menatara once. So that's a question. What if the Eidim by the Kiddushin, the Eidim Kiddushin, were, let's say, brothers-in-law Giso with two Baal Kiyushta, the only possible Midirabbanan. So do you say the Kiddushin is not Chal, or do you say it's not Chal Midirabbanan, but Menatar it is Chal? So that's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. And the Sugyam Sanhedrin there, the Shulti Gidborim on the side, and the Rif quotes all the different opinions, and Shulchan Aruch, they have the whole discussion. So that's by Rishon Merishon. What about Sheni B'Sheni? The Sheni B'Sheni is first cousins. So if you have two boys who are first cousins, then they're Pasul Eidus together, or one of them is Pasul Eidus if the other one is getting married. You can't be related to the Chassan or the Kala. If you have two girls who are first cousins and they're both married, so all the Bishenim agree. You don't say Baal Kiyushta twice on the level of Sheni Bisheni. What about Rishon Bisheni? What if you have an aunt and a niece? The aunt is married and the niece is married. So it's the uncle by marriage. It's my wife's aunt's husband. So you have two Baal Kiyushtas. The aunt is married and the niece is married. So that's a machlek, the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, that's a machlek of the Baal Amor and the Ramban in Sanhedrin in the third parak on the sugya of Kreivim Psulim La'edus. What about Sheni Bishlishi? Let's say you have a first cousin once removed, and you have Sheni Bisheni, first cousins, and then one of the first cousins has a child. So that's a the first cousin, all three are men. The first cousins are two men, and then they have a son. One of them has a son. So the Shlishi Bishlishi for sure is kosher ladies. Let's say second cousins are kosher ladies. They're not pasul ladies. What if you have first cousins once removed? That's called Shlishi Bisheni. So that's kosher. The Gemara says Shlishi Bisheni is kosher. What if it's Rishon Bishlishi? What if it's Rishon Bishlishi? So the Gemara has one opinion that Risha Bishlishi is kosher la'edus, and therefore a grandfather is kosher la'edus about a grandson. A grandson is kosher la'edus about a grandfather because that's Risha Bishlishi. Then the Gemara says, we don't paskin like that. Why do we not paskin like that? So the different opinions. So one opinion is because Risha Bishlishi is pasul la'edus. That's why we don't accept it. So if Risha Bishlishi is pasul la'edus, then it's not only a grandfather with a grandson. What if it's my great uncle, my grandfather's brother? My grandfather's brother is also Rishon Bishlishi, so it would also be Pasul Eidus. Other Rishonim say, no, not only Shlishi Bisheni is Pasul Eidus, Shlishi Birishon is also not only Shlishi Bisheni, a first cousin once removed, not only Shlishi Bisheni, Sheni Bishlishi is Pasul Eidus, even Rishon Bishlishi is also Pasul Eidus. The great uncle with the nephew is also kosher la'edus, but a grandfather with a grandson is considered Rishon Bisheni. Why? Because a father with a son is not Rishon Bisheni, it's Rishon Bereshon. And the son with his son is also Rishon Bereshon. But the grandfather with the son is Rishon Bereshon, and the son with his son is Rishon Bereshon, but the grandfather with grandson is not Rishon Bereshon, it's called Rishon Bishlishi. Rishon, it's Rishon Bishlishi. Again, It's called Rishon B'Sheni, because the father with his son is Rishon Rishi. The son with his son is Rishon Rishon. So the grandfather with grandson would be called a Rishon B'Sheni. But if the great-grandfather would want to testify about the great-grandson, that would be Rishon B'Shlishi, that would be kosher. And the third sheet is no. The Gemara says there was one opinion that your machsher avu adiyaba. It's in Yesh Nachlan. There's one opinion in the Gemara that the grandfather with the grandson are Rishon B'Shlishi, and it's kosher ladies. And the Gemara says, why don't we pass on like that? So the three biurim and the rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch the machmer for all the different shitas. So one sheet is because Rishon B'Shlishi is pasulaitis. So the great uncle with the nephew is also pasulaitis in Rishon B'Shlishi. The other sheet is that the grandfather with the grandson is not called Rishon B'Shlishi because the father with the son is Rishon Rishon, son with his son is Rishon Rishon. So the grandfather with the grandson is called Rishon B'Sheni. But the great grandfather with the great grandson, that would be called Rishon B'Shlishi, would be kosher leidus. And then we're not maker like that. And then the third sheet is the Rashbam Anad Gemar. He says that Avram Avin is puzzle to all of his descendants because B'nei Banim Harem Kid Banim, if it's a direct descendant, then it's always going to be puzzle, even 20 generations later. Yeah, but so then in the Beis Shmuel has a minik from earlier, Achrayim, that by Edi Kiddushin, Edi Haget and Edi Kiddushin, Mamachma, even to the extent of Revi Bervi with two Balki Yishtois. Revi Bervi with two Balki Yishtois means there were two girls who were third cousins. It means originally there were two brothers or two sisters and they had children, so their children are Sheni B'Sheni. Then they had children, the second cousins are Shlisha B'Shlisha. Then they had children. The third cousins are called Revi Bervi. So there's a chumrah if you have two girls who are third cousins and they're both married, so you shouldn't use them as Eidi Kiddush and Eidi Haget, even to the extent of Revi Bervi with two Balkishtas. But that's only the Eidi Kiddushin. The Eidi Aksubi, you don't have such a chumrah. Only by the watching the Kiddushin, you have such a chumrah. I was at a wedding, a little over a year ago. They had a lot of rabbonim there at the wedding. The wedding took place in Lakewood, a lot of people from the yeshiva. And then under the chuppah, they realized that one of the eidim who signed the ksuba was a shvi b'shlishi. It's unbelievable. It's off the chart. There isn't even a chumrah to be machmeh. So they made a whole tumult under the chuppah. How they allowed this person to sign the ksuba? It was a 10th cousin of Mrs. Gifter, who was a great-grandmother of the Kala. It was mamish. It's not even described in the Paskim. It's not a kurva at all. There's nothing. Anyway, otherwise, everyone is posle. Everyone's related to everybody else. There's a limit. So the din is that when you have the chuppah, when you have kiddushin, you have to have edus l'kiyum adav. Otherwise, the kiddushin is not chal. Does nisun also require a chuppah? Does Nisun also require Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar? So that's very questionable. The Yosamech writes, Yesh Lehistapek. The Marcheshes writes that in his opinion, Marcheshes was Rav Penach Egish. He was a dayan in Vilna together with Rav Chaim Moshe. He was older than Rav Chaim Moshe and he outlived Rav Chaim Moshe. So he learned by the Beis Halevi. So he writes in the Hagdamah to his Sefer Marcheshes, he learned the old Derech HaLimud. He's not familiar with the new Derech HaLimud, with analyzing everything, with chemical analysis and breaking everything down to its component parts. But that's a lot of his Sefer is like that. He had the new Derech HaLimud also. So he writes in his Sefer, Marcheshe, says Shalas HaTshuvas mainly, he writes that he thinks that this issue is really a machlokes the Rambam and the Rabbi. He shows how he got that, whether Nisu and Nizedus L'Kim Adam. So that's a shayla where they need Eide Yichud. We have the practice that we do Yichud right after the chuppah. Why? What is Erisin? We know. Kesev Shtar Abiyah. The Ramana writes, Kvandoga Kol Yisrael, the Kaddish B'Kesev. Meaning is when the Kaddish B'Tshuva B'Kesev Ki Kesev. Well, how do you do Nisuin? So Nisuin, there are different opinions. So one opinion is that the Badekin is the Nisuin. Where is that quoted? You look in the end of Yeridei, the very end of Yeridei ends with Hilchas Avelos. So there's a simon there. Simon Shin Mem Beis. the end of Yeridea, that it's based on the Gemara in the beginning of Ksubis, Mesavib Shalchas and Ema Shalkala. What do you do if one of the grandparents dies the day of the wedding, the day before the wedding? What do you do? So the Taz over there and the Dogam of Rava quote from the Mordechai in Ksubis that Mordechai is from the later Bali Atayis. Mordechai was the Talmud of the Maharam Rutmer. It was the end of the period of the Bali Atayis. So they quote that their opinion was that the Badekan is the Nisuin, based on the Pasuk in Megillas, so Farasta Knafecho Alam Asecho. So the Chassan should do the Badekan. The Dogam Levava, which is the Horus of the Nadi Behuda on the side of the Eridea, on the side of the big Shulchan Aruch, Dogam Levava writes that in certain areas in Europe, the practice was the Chassan didn't even go to the Badekan at all. By some of the Hasidim, they have it like that. The Rabbanim go and they Badek the Kal. So the Dogam Levava writes that it's self-understood that the Chassan is appointing the Rabbanim as the Shliach to do the Nisuin for him, according to this opinion of the Mordechai that the Taz quotes. That the Badekan is the Nisuin. Rav Soloveitchik was not happy with that Dogam Rebbe. He thought that that Shaloi Kedin. He gave a whole husband why Milsa de Leisa B'Shlichas Leisa B'Tanai. Milsa de Leisa B'Shlichas Leisa B'Tanai. So he gave a whole Shia. Part of it he printed himself when he delivered his Hesped when his uncle Rav Elvala passed away. So he part of the Hesped was that he printed was that every Jewish person has erison with the Torah, but big Talmid Chachamim have not only erison with the Torah; they have nisuin. After you have nisuin, so the husband and the wife live together, so they understand each other much better, and the husband can already tell in advance what his wife's reactions will be to any issue that will come up because they have nisuin. So he said that the great Talmid HaChachamim have not only erison with the Torah, everybody, every Jewish person has erison, big Talmid HaChachamim have nisun with the Torah. They can intuitively feel what the din should be even before they look up the din in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. So he has a long footnote over there where he discussed, in that Hesped, by Rav Soloveitchik printed, Madodech Midoy, that's called. So he has a long footnote where he explains why there's room to argue the point and say that there's no need for Edus L'Kiyam Adaba by Nisuin. That's the question. So if you hold that the Nisuin is the Yichud, the Rambam's opinion is that Nisuin is the Yichud. So that's a question. If you need Edus L'Kiyam Adaba, you have to have Edi Yichud. If you don't need Edus L'Kiyam Adaba, you don't need Edi Yichud, just need Edi Kiddushin. So there's one opinion that the Badekan is the Nisuin. Either Badekan is done before the Erison, they do the Badekan before they march down the aisle. So that's based on the Mishlam Melech and Hilchas Ishim. Mishlam Melech proves that if he did Nisuin before Erison, he has a Tshuvas Rashi that's quoted by the Mordechai. Mishlam Melech quotes a Tshuvas Rashi that appears in the Mordechai, that if you did Nisuin before Erison, once you do the erison, so the nisuin is chal. The nisuin is not chal when she's not even married to me. But then when you do the erison, so you don't have to repeat the nisuin. It's chal later. So that's our practice is if you do badekin before, not everybody does, but I think the yekas don't do badekin. But those who do badekin is based on this Mordechai in Ksubis, that badekin is the nisuin. For us, the kanafech alamasech. Others say for us, the kanafech is when you put the talus on top of the heads of the Chas and Kala. That's what a lot of Sfardim do, and that's what the Yekas still do. Apparently, that was the old Minig. But then, years ago, they didn't have to pick a date half a year in advance. They didn't have to book a hall and book photographers and book a caterer and book the musicians. They would the girl would know when she's going to Mikvah, and then they would decide to get married next week and shine. So then they would make sure that it wouldn't be a chuppas nida. But in recent years, that people come from the other side of the globe to participate in a wedding, so you have to know in advance when the wedding is going to take place, which day is it going to be. So a lot of times it turns out that it's a chuppas nida. So that's perhaps why they discontinued the practice of putting, most discontinued the practice of putting a talus over the chas and kala's head together. Because a lot of times she didn't go to a mikveh. So you can't have them so close to each other that they're leaning on each other with the talus on both of them. So then if the girl went to mikveh, then you are going to put the talus. Girl didn't go to mikveh, you're not going to put the talus. So it's going to be an embarrassment to the girl. So maybe that's why they discontinued the practice of putting the talus over. But somehow, So the different opinions, what constitutes nisun? So some hold a badekin, some hold a frastik and a fechel amasech, putting the talis on. Some hold standing under the canopy. That's what the Rambam sounds like. And the Rambam says that is the yichud that you have right afterwards. The Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva from Abel Yemizrahi that just like when you say, Magen Avraham is on Orach Chaim. So just like it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you say Birchas Hanenin, before you eat food, you shouldn't say the bracha 5 minutes in advance. You should say the bracha on the food right immediately before you're about to eat the food. Just like you shouldn't be mopsic by talking in between. I say shakal nibidvar to drink a cup of coffee, then I talk. So you have to repeat the bracha. The bracha is not chal. So if you pause a long time, it's also a hepsik. So just like there's a din, you shouldn't pause for too long a period of time in between the birchas anenin and the eating of the food. So too, a person should not pause too long in between the birchas hamitzvah and fulfilling the mitzvah. And a person should not pause too long in between the birchas nisuin. Our practice is that we recite the birchas nisuin when they're under the chuppah. So what is the nisuin? So according to the Rambam, the nisuin is the fact that they're standing under the canopy. So they're still standing under the canopy. So we recite the birchas nisuin, the shever brachas under the chuppah, and the chasen kala still under the chuppah. But according to the Rambam, everything is only show. The nisuin is when they go to the yichud room later on. So the photographer takes a lot of time. He's taken a lot of pictures in between the end of the chuppah and the going to the yichud room. It takes a long time. Everybody kisses everybody else under the chuppah, and everybody's dancing and singing and clapping. It takes a long time. So the Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva from Abel Yemizrahi. That's not right. And he says they shouldn't pause too long. They should rush the chasen kala to go to the yichud room. That's the expression that appears in the Maharil. The Maharil writes in Meritzim Misachasam Misakala Lached HaYichud. He rushed the chasen kala to the yichud room because according to the Rambam, the yichud is the nisuin. You don't want to have the birchas nisuin too far in advance. Yet there's another shita that the nisuin is none of the above. The yichud room is not nisuin either. The Vilna Gaon seems to hold that the nisuin is when the chasen kala go home at the end of the evening when they go home together. So that's a big question. If that's the nisuin, so how do you say the brachas under the chuppah? And the nisuin is not going to take place till 6 hours later when they go home at the end of the wedding, at the end of the night. So Chacham Avadya raises that issue because by those who follow Chacham Avadya, he doesn't want to have the nisuin right away. He wants to have the nisuin when they go home because the kala is not going to cover her hair. Chacham Avadya works on the assumption that an arusa doesn't have to cover her hair, a nesua has to cover her hair. So if the girl is going to have yichud, so she's going to become a nesua, or if you're going to have badekin or standing under the canopy, if any of these is nisuin, then the girl has to cover her hair, and she's not going to cover her hair the night of the wedding. So that's why he prefers that she should have in mind they're only going to do nisuin when they go home together at night. Then he raises the question, how do you say birchas nisuin under the chuppah? Not going to do the nisuin until 6 hours later. So he says, ain kamakam laharach. I don't know, maybe he has in one of his other tshuvas. I have to look in the new editions of the Bia Omer. So they have footnotes on the bottom with cross references. And maybe he has it somewhere else. He talks about it. So that's an issue. So that's a question whether you really need Eidus L'Kiyum Hadavar by the nisuin. So we're usually machmer that you do have Eidus L'Kiyum Hadavar. Yeah. The Rambam has a unique pshat in the Gemara in Ksuvah, the beginning of Perek Af Al Pi. The Gemara has a suffix, what's the din of chuppah shein ruyah l'bia? So the pashtus in the Gemara is talking about a specific case. A man has erisin with a girl, and he gave the girl a ksuba. And then he divorces her during erisin. He never got to do nisuin. So in the ksuba, we include not only the ikka ksuba, we add tosefes ksuba, way more, tosefes ksuba, way more than something like $100,000, the whole ksuba altogether. The ikka ksuba is peanuts, very little. Ikka ksuba is 50 shkolim. Whatever Pidyon HaBen is 5 shkolim, so the Ikka Ksuba is Chamishim Shekel Kesev, it's 10 times Pidyon HaBen. So let's say Pidyon HaBen today is something close to $100 because the value of silver went up. So the ikksuba will be $1,000. 10 times binyan ben, maximum is going to be $1,000. But if the sefer ksuba is way more. Sefer ksuba, the whole thing adds up to something like $100,000, a fortune of money. So the Mishnah quotes Rav Elazar ben Azariah that if a man had erusin with a girl and then he dies during erusin or he divorces her during erusin, he only has to pay the ikar ksuba. He doesn't have to pay the sefer ksuba because it's self-understood. It's an umdat in the muchach, even though he never said it explicitly, it's self-understood that he only intended to add on that the sefer ksuba if he will at least have nisuin with the girl and then he'll die or he will divorce her. But if he dies or he's harmal on his garsha during erusin, self-understood that she doesn't get the Tosefta Ksuba, she only gets the Ikka Ksuba. So the Gemara has an Ibayid B'Leiv Shita, what's a din if they did Nisuin, but it was a Chupish, she was Pirsa Nida, she became a Nida. So they had Nisuin, but they weren't able to live together. And then they got divorced before she ever went to the mikveh. So it's a suffix in the umdana of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. That's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. The Rambam learns the Gemara's suffix is a different suffix. The Rambam learns the Gemara's suffix is a suffix in Halacha. Forget about Rav Elazar ben Azariah with the Tosefes Ksuba. It's not a suffix in umdana, it's a suffix in din. Is a chupas nida, kaina or not. Kiddushin is taifas, even if the girl is a nida. That's what Gemara says from the Pashup. Usihi nidosa alava, apila bishas nidosa tehebo havaya. Means that kiddushin are topsim. So kiddushin are not topsim by a chavi krisis. No, and anida is a chavi krisis. So the Gemara learns up from a pasuk that kiddushin are topsim benida. So the Rambam learns the Gemara suffix was is nisuin typhus on anida. Maybe kiddushin is typhus. Maybe nisuin is not typhus. So because of that suffix, the Rambam says it's not proper that a girl should get married when she's anida. She should go to the mikveh first. That's called chupah shein ruyah labia. So what if the chupah shein ruyah labia mid the rabbanon? What if it's men on Torah? It's chupah ruyah labia. Where do you have a case chupah shein ruyah labia mid the rabbanon? The Gemara has a din mid the rabbanon. A man is not allowed to live with his wife if he didn't give her a ksuba. Even though there is a shibud ksuba, even if he didn't give her a document, but the girl may feel uncomfortable. She may not realize that she has the ability to bear the husband. We're concerned. We want the wife to feel secure that the husband doesn't have the ability to divorce her. The wife shouldn't feel, I have to dance to the tune, any mishigas my husband wants, I have to give in to him, otherwise he's going to divorce me. She should realize he can't divorce her. If he divorces her, he's going to have to pay $100,000, and not going to be so easy to divorce his wife. So we want that the wife should have a ksuba. So that's why the Magen Mishnah points this out. He quotes it from the Rishonim, that just like the Rambam says, you need chupah haroi to be on the level of the Raisa. Chupas nida is a sfeika d'dina, whether it's kaina. So you need chupah haroi to be on the level of the Rabbanim. So if the kala doesn't have the ksuba, so then it's going to be chupah shen haroi to be. So our practice is that we give the ksuba to the kala in between erusin and nisuin. That's why the Rabbi Natan introduced the practice that you read the ksuba. Why read the ksuba? Why not have a chazan sing a niggun? Why not have a rabbi hold a sermon like we do today? The answer is because in between Eris and Nisan, you're going to have to give the document of the ksuba to the kala, that it should be a chupa roi labi on the level of Rabbanan, should be muta lava aleha. If ein lo ksuba is also lava aleha. So since you're going to have to give it over, so the meaning, so Rabbi Natan developed a meaning that you read the ksuba in advance. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote a minig, the Rama quotes a minig, that you should try to get married outside, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham Avinu when he was in his ohel, and he says, Mayotze osa hachutza, he tells him, go out of your ohel, lift up your eyes, svarka chavi metucha lispa raisim ko yezarecha. So when a girl is getting married, a young girl is getting married, and we want to bless her with, she should have a lot of children. So we want to invoke that blessing by taking the couple, we take them out of the building under the stars. In the daytime, the stars are there also. So they should get married, tachas kippis or akir, to invoke the blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu, ko yezarecha. The Achrayim say that it's a nice minig, you should be makpid to get married, tachas kippis or akir. Some interpret that the mocker is a Yerushalmi. There's a tesis in the first parak in Yuma, The Tosis has a strange statement. So some of the Rabchaim Volozhin interprets that Yerushalmi as assuming that that was the minhag, that a young girl who gets married for the first time is going to get married outside, as opposed to an almana, the woman is remarrying at the age of 70, at the age of 80, so she's not expecting to have any children, so there's no need to have tachas kippus harakiyah. But the first time a young girl is getting married, you get married tachas kippus harakiyah. So the achrayim right. We should observe the minhag to get married outside tachas kippus harakiyah, but you should be careful not to make a chilul Hashem. What does it mean to make a chilul Hashem when you get married outside? So I remember once I attended a wedding. It's Rabbi Perlo, who just passed away. So he had a daughter. So when the daughter got married, she got married in Williamsburg outside, and it was raining, and they had a purple chuppah. So the rain was falling on the purple chuppah, and the purple dye was dripping on the caller's white gown, and the chuppah was outside, and it was in Williamsburg. So there were goyim who lived in the apartment buildings on the either side of the street, and all the Jews are standing in the rain outside, and they see the purple dye is falling on the caller's gown. So the goyim were laughing at us. What are the crazy Jews? They make a chuppah in the rain, or sometimes get married outside. It's snowing outside. It's freezing. How can you get married outside? So that's probably what the achrayim mean. That it's a beautiful meaning, but you shouldn't make a chil Hashem. You shouldn't get married outside if it's raining or if it's snowing or something like that. Yeah, we have the practice that we have yichud right after the chuppah to be choshish for the Rambam's opinion. How long do you have to stay in the yichud room? That is a question. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to insist 8 minutes. Other Rabbanim in the yeshiva used to make fun of Rav Soloveitchik. They thought it's much shorter. But that's what he always said. 8 minutes. But yeah, that's probably the tradition that he heard from his father, from his grandparents. Most of the things that he did were traditions that he had from Gedolim in Europe. Usually when you say Kiddush Alakos, when you say Havdol Alakos, over here also you say Bichas Nisuin Alakos. So the Gemara says, Mabarach Tzor Sheyitim, it's only considered a Broch Alakos, it's only considered a toast, that it has the Chashivas of Broch Alakos, if you take a sip, and how much do you have to sip? The Kama, the Gemara says, in Arvid Psochim, a Maloy Lugmav, you have to drink a Maloy Lugmav. Maloy Lugmav is a Rov Revius by an Odom Beinani. That's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Ran on Psochim, the Ran on Perek Arvei Psochim. You have to drink a Maloy Lugmav. Remember when I got married, so Moshe Feinstein by the Chosin's Tish, Moshe Feinstein was sitting next to me. So he said, by the Koshal Nisuin, I should be makbid to have a Maloy Lugmav. So the Koshal Erisin is not at all Medina de Gemara. That was only introduced in later generations. So that, he says, as long as you just take a sip, he said, you don't really need a Maloy Lugmav. He said, the Koshal Nisuin, you really should have. If you drink a Maloy Lugmav, a Rav Revius by Don and Beinani, so that's a question of a Brach Achreina, what they say, Ala Geffen. In Shulchan Aruch, we follow the Ramam. You only say a Brach Achreina if you drink a Revius. But Tosis is not sure. Tosis in Yuma says maybe, Tosis in Sukkah in Yuma, maybe if you drink a Maloy Lugmav, you say a Brach Achreina. And in Shulchan Aruch, they quote a suffix from another Bala Tosis, maybe if you drink a Kazayis, maybe the Shia for Brach Achreina for wine is Kezayis. So because of this fakus, so you really, that's why it's in Shulchan Aruch, you should never drink more than a Kezayis and less than a Revius, because more than a Kezayis is already a Safik Brach Achreina. It's going to be a Safik Brach Achreina until you have a whole Revius. No, to drink a whole Revius of wine, you can get tipsy, you can get drunk. So that's a Shaila, what are you going to do over here? We have a Churman not to drink more than a Kezayis and less than a Revius. So what do you do by the Birchas Nisum? So one way to solve the problem is when you go into the yichud room, so the chasen kala hug and they kiss, okay. And then they have cookies there in case they were fasting a whole day and they're starving. So it's going to take a time. It's going to take a while with the photographers till they get in. It's going to take a long time till they get in to eat something. Then it's going to be the first dance is before they're going to get a chance to eat anything. So they usually have cookies in the yichud room. So after they eat the cookies, so then they say, ala michya. So one way to solve the problem is they should have in mind when they sip the wine under the chuppah, they're going to say the brach achreina in the other room. Really, you're supposed to have brach achreina in the same place. But if it's mecheder lecheder ba'osa bayis, so it's also considered, if you have in mind mecheder lecheder ba'osa bayis, that's considered saying the brach achreina in the same location. So then if you had a vadai kezayis of cookies and a suffix shear for brach achreina on the wine, So we wouldn't say ala gefen va pi gefen, that's a suffix brachas laka, but you're saying the bracha achrona anyway. He's saying ala michya anyway. So to add on in the middle of ala michya, say ala gefen va pi gefen, Pashta says there should not be a problem adding on. That's what Rav Moshe holds. The Shari Tshuva quotes the Birkei Yosef that you shouldn't do that. That's also called suffix brachas laka, you shouldn't do it. Well, Mestaber, I thought it's like Rav Moshe, that you're not saying a separate bracha. Now, can I say a separate bracha?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Would this apply if the wedding is outside also? Because then it's not goto bayit.
If it's right next door, if the room, let's say, by Lubavitch, they get married in front of 770, and then they have the dinner down the block. So that's talk a different location. But if you get married outside, and then the room where the suda is going to be is right adjacent to that, so that's also, the backyard is called Mecheda L'Cheda. I think it's called Mecheda L'Cheda B'Osabais. It says in Hilchas Sukkah that if you have the sukkah in your backyard and it's right next to the house that you live in, so you're going to go from one to the other, that's considered Mecheda L'Cheda B'Osabais. When you fill out the ksuba, the minig is that the first and the last time that they have the name of the Chasen Kali, you write the whole name, Ploini ben Ploini. And Rav Soloveitchik insisted you should write L'mishpachas Plon, you should write the family name as well. Why do you have to write the family name? Because the Gemara says if you live in a city where there are two people with the same name, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, two people with the same name, so you have to write whether he's a Kohen, whether he's a Levi, the tall one or the short one, or do you write the grandfather's name? You're not going to have Yosef ben Shimon ben Eliezer. You're going to have two people with the same names with three generations. More unlikely. So in New York City, you have so many people. For sure, it's going to be Shnei Yosef ben Shimon. It's going to be Shnei Yosef ben Shimon. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggests, that you should really write the family names. And a get, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the meaning is you don't write the family names because a get is a shtar kinyan. The woman, in the days of the Gemara, the woman who got divorced held on to the get, and it served as a shtaraya also. That was how she proved that she got divorced. For many centuries now, the practice is that the woman who gets divorced doesn't hold on to the get. She gives the get back to the rabbi who is Masada the get. He keeps it on file. And the rabbi gives her a shtar ma'isa bezin, a ptur. We call it in Yiddish a ptur. He gives her a document that says we were supervising the fact that she got divorced and the get was done properly and she's allowed to remarry. So since the get doesn't function today, no longer functions as a shtar raya, so that's why it's not so important. You don't need muchach mitoichai. So even if you have Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, so what? It's not going to serve as the shtar raya. The ptur is going to have the family name, and it may even have the passport number or something. It may have some other identification. It may have a photograph on it. Sometimes the ptur, you put a photograph on it. Okay, that it should be really a shtar raya. But the ksuba is supposed to be a shtarai. So shtarai has to be muchach mitoichai. So if you have a big city where you have a lot of Jews, you're just going to write Pliny ben Pliny. There must be 25 people with the exact same name. So you really should. So we add on Hakain Vahalevi, but that may not be enough either. So more correct is that you should write the family name as well. But Moshe Feinstein has such a tshuva where he says you should have the family name. But all he is that he was Masada Kiddushin. They say that he never put in the family name. I don't know what that's all about. In the tshuva, he writes that you should. And then Lemaisa, he didn't do it. The minigas, the first time and the last time you write the whole name. Pliny ben Pliny, the mishpachas Pliny. Then when you repeat the name in the middle, you just write the chasen's first name or the kala's first name. You don't repeat the whole story all over again. The first time you mention the chasen's name, he didn't propose yet. So you refer to him habacher. And then if they say, Amalala do besulta, we the undersigned testify that we heard him say, Habe lili into, Habe mekudeshesli. So if he said Habe mekudeshesli, so for not point on a niksuba, you refer to him as hachasin. But the first time, the meaning is you don't write hachasin. The first time you write habacher, because in the text of the niksuba, he didn't propose yet. Then the meaning is that you write what month it is, and get the meaning is you write yerech. This month is kislev, so you write. And again, you would write Yerech Kislev. In Aksuba, you would write L'Chodesh Kislev. Why? Because the word Yerech appears in Chumash in connection with getting divorced. How does it say? Gerish Yerochim. does not, the Gerush Rachum does mean anybody's getting divorced. It means the peiros that grow on the field at night. But because it says Gerush Rachum, so the word Yerech means a month, is mentioned in connection with Gerush. So the meaning developed that you write the Liyerech and you get. But in Exuba, it says Kiika Chishisha Chadosha. So the word Chod doesn't have anything to do with Chodesh. But still, since it says Kiika Chishisha Chadosha, the meaning is that in Exuba, you write L'chodesh instead of writing Liyerech. All of this is not Miyakev. A lot of times in Exuba, there'll be Makbid Chumre. It's really not a smart idea that they don't. The Exuba is a printed form. So it doesn't write the, it doesn't, it's, the word is missing. The kanina mine means that we, the undersigned, testify that we made a Kabbalah's kinyan with the chasen that he obligated himself in this amount of money in the Tosefes Ksuba and in the Nedunya. So, and a lot of the Ksubas that leave out the word the kanina, you have to fill it in after he made the Kabbalah's kinyan, or it'll be missing the kuf. It'll write viranina, and the leg of the kuf will be missing. So after, why? Because the Gemara in Gittin has a discussion whether you're choshesh from Mechzik Yishikra. You have a text that's printed already that says we already made a kinyan, and it's not true. They didn't make the kinyan. So because of the concern, Mechzik Yishikra, it's not sheker. It's not sheker. We don't give it the ksuba until after they did make the Kabbalah's kinyan. But it's a concern of Mechzik Yishikra. So what are you concerned about? The Gemara in Gittin comes to the conclusion, you don't worry about Mechzik Yishikra. So the concern is because Tosis there has two pshatim in the Gemara. There's one obscure pshat. Tosis quotes one pshat. We don't pass like this. One pshat that the mechzik is shikar loy chashin, and on a private shtar, that a private person writes a shtar halva or something like that. But if it's a shtar ma'ase bezin, so then bezin should be concerned about mechzik is shikar. So what does it have to do with a ksuba? So we treat a ksuba as if a ksuba is a shtar ma'aseh bezin. Ma pitom, why is a ksuba shtar ma'aseh bezin? Because the Gemara has a klal, nishen edeh betiv gitin b'kedushin, lo yehelo esik imoim. So Rashi writes in the beginning of Gitin, I think on the Hayamid base, that you need every community used to have a dayan hamemuna ala gitin, or a dayan hamemuna ala kedushin. That's why you have to have, even if a person has smicha for nishiba, you have to have separate smicha that is right to be mesader a get. You have to have separate smicha that is right to be mesader kiddushin. And the Shulchan Aruch says like that. You have to have separate smicha for kiddushin, a separate smicha for gittin. So because you have to be a dayan who's memuna, so we treat the ksuba. The ksuba is supposed to be filled out by this dayan hamemuna ala kiddushin. So that's why you treat it as if it's a shtar ma'aseh bezin. The minig is, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, minig is, by Tanoim, it has the date on the last time. By the Ksuba, it has the date on the first line. Why? So the minig is, a Tanoim is a private shtar. So a private shtar, the minig always was, a shtar halvoa, he writes the zman, the date, on the last line. But a Ksuba, because Mishenedeh, because Gitin Kedushin, you need a dain memuna, so we treat the Ksuba as if it's a shtar ma'aseh bezin. And that was the practice. And in a p'tur, in a shtar ma'aseh bezin, you always write the date on the first line, as opposed to a private shtar. So because we treat it combined over here, because there's one opinion in Tosfos that you are concerned about mechzik yishikra when it comes to a shtar ma'aseh bezin, and the chumra, that's a chumra. We don't pass like that. The chumra number two, we treat the ksuba as if it's a shtar ma'aseh bezin, because that's gemar mishen and debetiv gitin kedushin. So you put two and two together, you get 22, so you come up with this chumra that you shouldn't use a ksuba that's printed already. You should only fill in the kanina after you made the Kabbalah skin. The Shach had a bezin in Vilna until they had a runaway because of the Chmelnytsky riots in 1666. Tach betat, 1668 and 1669. So the, when was Tach V'Tat? 1648 and 49, Tach V'Tat. So the Beishmul, they all lived in Vilna at that time. They all had a run. So the Shach writes in Chosh Mishpat, he had a bezin, and he said when they would make a Kiyum Mashtar, they would fill out the document before the Eidim came and testified. They wouldn't sign it. And the Mechzik Yishikur is that Bezin shouldn't sign. In the Iker Adin, Bezin can even sign the Kiyum Ashtar as long as they don't give it to the Malveh. as long as they don't give the kiyama shtar to the malva until after the witnesses testify. So the shach says, but they always used to fill it out. They would always fill out. That's the common practice by a get. The rabbanan fill out the p'tur. They don't sign it. The rabbanan fill out the p'tur while the sefer is writing the get. And then after the get is given, then the rabbanan sign the p'tur and then they give it to the woman. They don't fill it out after the get was given. So that's what the shach says. The minig was that they would write the document of the kiyum hashtar before their witnesses actually testified on the signatures to authenticate the signatures on the shtar halvor. And then they would not sign because Mechsi Kishika, they wouldn't sign until after the witnesses testified. But to fill out the document before is not a concern because it happens very often. I was just at a wedding 2 weeks ago. It happens very often that a rabbi was filling out the ksuba, and the two witnesses were also rabbi. All were rabbis, and they forgot to fill in the word v'kanina. It was missing, and they didn't fill it in. So that's more often than not, more than half the times they forget to fill in the word. So it's a hepsid. It's not right. What happens if the edim signed already and they have the blank line v'kanina minei? So we rely on the nesivas. The nesivas says if you didn't give the ksuba to the kala yet. If you didn't give the shtar to the balashtar, there's no tefisa balashtar yet, then you can fill in the missing word. But it's not really right. The Adam shouldn't sign a ksuba before they read it. They should read it to make sure that everything is there. So it was a mistake on the part of the rabbi who filled out the ksuba. He should have seen that the word v'kanina is missing and the two Adam who signed shouldn't have signed if the word v'kanina is missing. It's not right. But more correct is you shouldn't use such a ksuba. You should use a ksuba where everything is filled out from before. Yeah, we learned in Psochim that there's a machlokes, the Rambam in Tosfos, what's the nature of Birchas Erusin. The Rambam's opinion is that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, has to be recited Oyvel HaSiyos before the Chassan gives the ring. And if the Chassan already gave the ring, said Harayat, Farfal, Mashanasa, Kranasa, you blew it, then you can't say the Birchas HaMitzvah after. If he already did the mitzvah, you can't say the Birchas HaMitzvah after he already did it. So we really, the Afik Eyam is a sefer that was printed 100 years ago. He writes that he heard from Absim Chazelig, who was the Dayan and Brisk, Berab Chaim. He heard from Absim Chazelig, we really don't paskin like the Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, that Birchas Erusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. If the Chassan is a communist and they were atheists and they don't believe in anything, so he doesn't believe Hashem Elokeinu Kidshanu B'Tzivanu. He doesn't believe in anything. So what are you saying, Abrach, on behalf of the Chassan? It's like Kavanah Shalom Latzeis. He doesn't believe in anything. So according to the Rambam, we wouldn't be able to say, the rabbi wouldn't be able to say the Birchas Erusin on behalf of the Chassan if he's anti-religious, doesn't believe in anything. But we still, the practice was, they would be Mesadik Kiddushin for these people who are absolutely atheists. So the answer is that we really follow Taisus. We hold that it's a sort of Birchas HaShevach. It's a Birchas HaShevach, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. And the chiyuv is not necessarily on the chassan. The chiyuv is on the people who are present. Whoever is present should participate and say birchas erusin. So that's what leads the Tosfos in Psochim Zayinam and Aleph to say that the bracha should be recited dafke after the kiddushin, not oyvel asiyosam. Birchas hashebach, birchas haydor, it's always recited la'achar asiyosam, not oyvel asiyosam. But because the Rambam got so touchy about it, according to the Rambam, if you didn't say the bracha, over lasiyasim, it'll be a bracha levatol. You can't say it. So out of respect for the Rambam, we say the bracha, over lasiyasim. But if one forgot, every so often, you'll attend a wedding, and the grandfather of the chassan of the kala, who has done many, has performed many weddings, is a rabbi, he'll be so overwhelmed with emotion, he'll make a mistake, and he'll have the chassan say, hariyat, he'll give the ring, before he says the bracha. So if by mistake they already gave the ring and the shala sang the bracha, so we'd say you do say the bracha afterwards because we would rely on Tosfos. It says that the bracha should dafke be lachar asiyos. Yeah. We mentioned before that we get married outside to invoke the blessing vayotzios hachutza tzemit tagninu shalcha and svar kachavim etuch alis paraisam. So some people think that you have to get married at night when the stars are visible. You get married in the daytime, you can't see the stars. in Hilchas Gittin, they quote a Chumrah from the earlier Achrayim that you should not be Misadar HaGet Balayla. And the rabbi who is Misadar the Get should not be related to the husband or the wife of getting divorced. Why? Because that Rashi in the beginning of Gittin, Rashi said, that you need a dayan who's memuna ala gitten and a dayan is memuna on kiddushin. So if you need a dayan, so it's like a bezdin, so a bezdin, there's no kviyas yeshivas bezdin balayla, done in bayam v'gam balayla. If he started a din Torah in the daytime, you can continue into the night. Very often a din Torah takes hours and hours and hours till they finish saying what they want to say, until you ask all the questions that you have to ask. As long as the yeshiva is bezdin began bayam, you can continue into the nighttime, but you can't begin. You can't make chilas kviyas yeshivas bezin. You can't begin balayla. So that's why the minig was that the minig is by most rabban. The minig is that you don't do a seder aget balayla, and the one is masadah the get should not be a karev to the husband or the wife of getting divorced. So when this minig was recorded, when it was originally developed in the days of the early achrayim, I think in the 1500s. So they said both by Kiddushin and by Gittin, you shouldn't have a chas and a balayla. The wedding should be by Yom, because Masada Kiddushin is like a dayan, a bezdin, and there's no bezdin balayla. Bezdin is only by Yom. In Shulchan Aruch, though, they left it out by Kiddushin. They only quoted by a get. They don't quote it by Kiddushin. So the Knesset HaGdoila was a Sfardish rabbi in Constantinople. So he writes, when he was appointed rabbi in Constantinople, he was stunned to see that they had weddings at night. He never heard of such a thing where he came from. I already forgot where he came from. He says, never heard of such a thing. So he insisted by the Balabatim they should change the practice, and they listened to him. And they changed it so that all the weddings were Bayom. So look, if the wedding is Bayom, if the wedding is going to be Bayom, so you should try to make sure that the Masada Kedushin should not be a relative. Why not? If the wedding is Ben Koliko, is going to be Balayla, so then you're not observing that minig anyway. So then it doesn't matter if the Masada Kedushin is going to be a relative. The meaning is by the Chosin Stish. The Chosin says Dibrei Torah. Why? And the matonis that they used to give to the Chosin, Rabbi Kivega refers to this in Hilcha Shabbos. He talks about handling mukta on Shabbos. So he says the minig was that the Shabbos of the Oifruf, the Chosin would say Advar Torah, not by the Chosin's teaching. He would say Advar Torah on Shabbos. And then the Balabatim would give gifts to the Chosin on Shabbos. That was called the Drasha Gishank. I Mekach Memkar is Aser. On Shabbos, Yantiv Zeri Shem Yichtov. So that's a Machlekes and Achrayim. Mekach Memkar is Aser. What about to give a Matana of Metaltalim? So in a lot of shuls, when there's a bar mitzvah, so the rabbi will present the bar mitzvah boy with a chumash or a siddur or a gift or something. So that's a question of the gzera mekach hamemkar. The Magen Avraham has this machlekes. Some of the rishonim say a matnas metaltalim is not included because no gzera shem yichtov. And others are machmer, even a matnas metaltalim. So some of the rabbis will say to the bar mitzvah boy, I have a gift for you and you'll pick it up after Shabbos is over. Others will say, I have a gift for you, and we will mezaka the gift on your behalf on Erev Shabbos. Someone already picked that up on your behalf. You were coined it based on Zochel Yadam Shlev Yifon of on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yantav. So here we assume, B'makam Mitzvah, we assume there's no Gzeirah of Mekach HaMemkar, because the first 2 days of Sukkot is in each Shalachem. So in Europe, not everybody can afford to buy their own Dalad Minim. So one person had, and he gave a Matanah Menas L'Achzah to everybody else. So the Rishonim raised the issue. How can you give a Matana Manas L'Achzah on Yontif? Isn't it Exeris Mekach HaMemkar? It should be included in Mekach HaMemkar. So some say Matnas Metaltalim, there's no Exera. And others say that B'makam Mitzvah is Mutter. B'makam Mitzvah, you're not Goyza. So that was the minig that used to give the Drasha Geshank to the Chassan on Shabbos of the Eifruf. He said a Dvar Torah after davening, they had a Kiddush. He said a Dvar Torah. The people would give him a Geshank as a Matana. They would give him a drasha geshank. He liked the Dvar Torah that he said, so they would give him a matana. We have the practice. You give the chassan says the Dvar Torah by the chassan stish before the chuppah. Why should he say Dvar Torah? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a mitzvah of simcha. Chassan has a mitzvah. It's like a yontif. The Gemara says chassan is like a yontif, and there's a mitzvah of simcha. So on an Avelis, when one is in Avelis, or on Tisha B'Av, has a din like Shiva. So one of the dinim is you're not allowed to have simcha, pikudei Hashem, Mishayim, Samchei Leif. You're not allowed to learn Divrei Torah. You're only allowed to learn Dvam HaRayim, Shabbi Yirmiyah, and Hilchas Avelis, and the Gemara and Gittin, about the Kamtza Bar Kamtza, the stories about the Churban, and the Medrash Agoda Hanecha, that you're allowed to learn. But you're not allowed to learn Shifal Torah. Let's say the Oval happens to be in Shul on Shabbos, in the middle of Shiva, the Oval goes to Shul. So does the Oval have to walk out of Shul when they learn Kriyas HaTorah? So we say no, he doesn't have to walk out. Let's say they have a minyan and they base the Oval in the middle of the week, so they have Kriyas HaTorah. Do we insist the Oval has to walk out during Kriyas HaTorah? No. So in Shulchan Aruch they explain that Seder HaYoim is not that exciting. You don't say Misam Chelev on the Kriyas HaTorah, on the Parshas HaShavua. But nonetheless, it says in the Mechaber quotes that when the Rabbeinu Tam's sister passed away and he was in Shiva, so that Shabbos he took Shlishi, because every Shabbos Rabbeinu Tam took Shlishi. And days of the Balei HaTesed, they didn't have 100 people in the community. They had barely a minion. The community is very tiny. So there was barely a minion. So Rabbeinu Tam got Shlishi. He was the rabbi. Rabbeinu Tam got Shlishi every Shabbos. So the Mechaber quotes this incident. Rabbeinu Tam took Shlishi, even though it's Keneged Adin, because it would be conspicuous, it would be noticeable if he's not going to take Shlishi, because every week he took Shlishi, so you're not permitted to observe Avelis Beferhesia in the middle of Shiva on Shabbos. So, but otherwise, let's say if it's not the Rabbeinu Tam who always gets Shlishi, the Obel should not get an Aliyah. So the question is, why not? You don't tell the Obel has to leave the shul when they're late in Kriyas HaTorah, because Seder HaYoim is not, you don't say Misam Chelev, it's not that exciting. You say Psuka de Zimra, you know, it's not so exciting. Psuka de Zimra is also Tanakh, not so exciting. So there's no issue. So why is there an issue to get an Aliyah? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, Tshuva and the Ksav Sefer has this as well. Rav Soloveitchik didn't say it in the name of the Ksav Sefer, but he said the same. He said, there are two Isurim in learning because of Simcha. One is to learn, and one is Lalame Torah L'Acherim. So you're not allowed to learn Torah, but if it's Seder HaYoim, so it's not Nisam Chelev, that's Mutter. But the Lamed Torah L'Acherim is officially another form of Simcha. So even if you're going to be Melamed, Seder HaYoim, it's also a violation of Simcha. So the one who gets the Aliyah, Al Pidin, is considered as if he's Melamed Torah to all the people in the shul. Because in the days of the Gemara, the one who got the Aliyah would lane. Even though we don't have that practice, we have the instance, since the days of the Goyin, and we have a Balkari lanes for everybody. Kadesh Lo Levayesh Ismi She'ena Yodeya. That's the practice. But still, the Balkari is laning on behalf of the Olal HaTorah, so it's considered as if the Olal HaTorah not only said the bracha, it's considered as if he laned as well. So the one who gets the Aliyah and says the bracha is considered as if he's the one who is Malamed Torah L'Acherim. And that's a separate form of Simcha, even though it's Seder HaYom, it's not Misam Chelev, but the Lamed Torah L'Acherim is a separate form of Simcha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that the reason why the Chassan, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the first sif in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, that the chassan in the middle of Shiva Simei Mishta is a chiyuv to get an aliyah. We have a meaning the chassan gets an aliyah the Shabbos before, the ofer of the Shabbos before the wedding. But in din, the chiyuv in Shulchan Aruch says the chiyuv is to get an aliyah in the middle of Shiva Simei Mishta. Why? Because the chassan has a chiyuv simcha. And the way to fulfill simcha, one way to fulfill simcha is lalamit Torah l'acherim, to get an aliyah and to teach Torah to the others. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. That's the mocker of the minig, that the chassan says Torah by the chassan's tish. I remember when I was the Talmud in the yeshiva, so Rav Mendel Zaks used to be the bochein in the yeshiva. He used to give bechinas to the incoming students. He used to give bechinas to all the students each term. He would give bechinas. Rav Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. And he used to give shiurim in Radin. He was the one who gave smicha in Radin. He gave Dr. Belkin smicha. He gave the smicha in Radin. So I remember someone told him over this comment from Rav Soloveitchik. He didn't think it was correct. He says, Pekudei Hashem Shem Misamchei Leiv. It's Misamchei Leiv. Yeah, but it's not. He didn't think that was correct. But it's an interesting idea. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that one should try Nachrayim, they say, one should try to get an aliyah on Yontav, because on Yontav there's a chiyuv simcha, and the best way to do simcha, one way to do simcha is to be misameach acherim by giving tzedakah to aniyim. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Yontif. The Mimis Hameches Ha'um Lolim, the people. Samach Tata, to give tzedakah to the anim. In other ways, to teach Torah, to get an aliyah, to be Malamit Torah L'Acherim by getting the aliyah, or to give a shir on Yontif. So it says on Yontif, one should try to get an aliyah, even if it means that the auctioning off the aliyah is going to have to pay money. So it says you should even pay money in order to try to get an aliyah on Yontif. So that's what Absalvechik thought. That's the yisayid of the chi of simcha by the chassan. That's why the chassan, Shivis Meh Mishteh, is a chi of to get an aliyah. And that's why he says a dvar ter. The Gemara in the end of the last Mishnah in Soita says, 40 years before Churban HaBayis, already the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGozes, self-imposed Golos, and that were already made the Beis HaMikdash incomplete. The din is that the Beis HaMikdash is only complete when you have the Lishkas HaGozes, when you have the Bez Nagodol meeting there. So already 40 years before the Churban HaBayis, they already began observing partial Avelos. Then after the Churban HaBayis, they introduced more Avelos. So one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah is that the Kalas used to wear ataris of a Kala, fancy crowns, gold or silver, expensive crowns. So they made Xeri after the Churban HaBayis, you shouldn't wear fancy crowns. A lot of times the Kala wears a crown. So you should make sure that it's a cheap crown. It shouldn't be something really expensive. Shouldn't be a very expensive piece of jewelry. Then it says also, Chasanim also shouldn't wear certain pieces of jewelry. We don't, so Rav Soloveitchik is, we don't know exactly what it corresponds to. That's why we're makbid that the chassan to the chuppah shouldn't wear fancy jewelry. So if he has a fancy, expensive tie pin, he should put it in his pocket. After the chuppah, he can wear it during the party, or during the Shivas Mishnah, but at the chuppah, he shouldn't wear it. Or if he has a very expensive watch, so he should put the watch in his pocket. He shouldn't wear fancy jewelry to the chuppah. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the, I think it's from the Pirkei the Rav Lezer, if I'm not mistaken, an idea that Chasan Doima LeMelech. So some say that that's the reason why when the Chasan Kala marched down the aisle, so we stand up out of respect for the Chasan, Chasan Doima LeMelech, so you stand up. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was not the correct reason. Chasan Doima LeMelech is only after he's already gotten married. If he's on his way to the chuppah, he's not yet a Chasan. He's a meshurach. We in Yiddish, you call a chasan kala if they're engaged. And Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz writes that he was makbid. You shouldn't call them. You shouldn't refer to them as chasan kala because they take liberties. They make in holding hands of things before the chuppah because they think they're chasan kala. They're not chasan kala yet. They're just meshurach and meshudechas. Rabbi Breuer here from the neighborhood years ago, I remember. He wouldn't call them chasan kala. He would call them meshudach and meshudechas, because that's Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz has that kpeda. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not the reason why you stand up chasan kala. He's not a chasan yet. So he said the real reason is Rishonim have this already. The real reason is that the Mishnah says in Bikurim when the farmers would be traveling the pilgrims would be traveling to Yerushalayim to bring the Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. So it says when they were going on their way, everyone would stand up out of respect because they're going to do a mitzvah. So the Bartanura says on that Mishnah, Bikurim is based on this Mishnah that we have a practice. When the Kvater is bringing the baby to the bris, everybody stands up, not out of respect for the baby. The baby didn't do anything yet in his lifetime. He didn't even have a bris milah yet. We stand up out of respect for the Kvater who is bringing the baby to do the mitzvah of milah. And when the Chevra Kadisha bring in a nifter to... before the Kvura, when they're going to deliver a hesped, everybody stands up, not out of respect for the Nifter. We never stood up when he was alive. Standing up out of respect for the Chevra Kadisha who were taking the Nifter to bury him, to do the mitzvah. So the same over here, that's what the Achrayim quote from some of the Rishonim. They say, you stand up out of respect for the Chosen who's walking to the Chuppah. He's on his way to perform a mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Yanka Kamenetsky used to say. That in Shulchan Aruch it said, the meaning is everybody stands up when you say Vayivarach David in the davening. Why do you stand up? Because David HaMelech stood up. So therefore we should stand up. Why should we stand up when you say Vayivarach David? So he was guessing. So he said maybe the Rav Soloveitchik gave a different reason. Rav Soloveitchik said in Vayivarach David you mention the seven spheres. So the Mashor writes in the end of Brachas that from the Gemara, the end of Brachas, the Agarta, and the last parent, that pasuk contains all of the seven spheres. So we treat it as if it's a Dovash Bigdusha. And Dovash Bigdusha is supposed to stand up. So Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky used to say a different explanation. They told me that it's in his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, that the minig used to be that the Gabbai went around to collect tzedakah in the middle of Ayvarach David. When you say, all the wealth comes from in Hashemayim, from the Rabban Shalom. So the minig used to be that people give tzedakah before they say, when they're about to say, Ba'ish HaKovid Mofanecha, in the schar that we're giving tzedakah, we should be blessed with Osher and Kovid. So because the Gabbai is going around to collect tzedakah, so that's why we stand up out of respect for the Gabbai. That's a Pischei Tshuva in Hilchas Tzedakah has such an idea. Maybe when the Gabbai goes with a pushka to collect money, maybe he should stand up like the minig is, that you stand up for the Kvater by the Bris, and you stand up for the Chevek Kadisha by the funeral, so maybe you should stand up when the Gabbai goes with the pushka. So Rabbi Ben Kamenetsky thought maybe that's the reason why the minig is that everybody stands up for Averech David, because the minig used to be in the weekdays, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't give tzedakah. In the weekdays, they would go around, the Gabbai would go around with the pushka and collect money for tzedakah.
Rebbe?
Yes?
Is there a limit to which mitzvot you would stand for when people are going? Like, if you see somebody going to daven, should you stand for them? As in, where do we draw the line?
I don't know. The meaning is that we don't. I don't know. Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Yeah. When you fill out the ksuba, they have facsimiles of the ksubas that the stipler filled out when his grandchildren got married. So he was not a practicing rabbi. He gave shiurim, and then in his old age he retired. So he didn't fill it out like he's supposed to. He didn't fill it out according to halacha. They leave a big space for the name, but the chosan only has one name. So what do you need such a big space? So let's say you have a check and you fill out an amount of money. So the practice is that you write X's and you write lines there to make sure that nobody adds anything else. If you leave an empty space, so it's a ksav sheyochel his dayef, the witnesses will sign on the bottom, but the empty space is all over the place. So you can add in different names over there. It'll turn out that a different boy married a different girl, and you give the document to that girl, and it says that this boy, she doesn't even know who he is, owes her this amount of money for a ksuba. So whenever you're filling out a ksuba and there are empty spaces that you're not going to use, you're supposed to put X's, you're supposed to put lines over there. That's called tiyuta. The Gemara Baba Basra says like that. And the end of Baba Basra, whenever you're filling out a shtar, you should put in tiyuta over there. Sometimes you have a chupas nida. The Rambam learns that it's an ibayda lepshit and the Gemara, but the chupas nebuy lebida is kind of not. So you should try to avoid having chupas nida. Sometimes you have a chupas nida, so what do? So the Rav Soloveitchik's minig was, this is an achronim, his minig was that instead of the chassan putting the ring on the kala's hand, the kala should stretch a hand out and drop the ring into the palm of the kala's hand. So I remember once there was such a chuppah, and Rabbi Soloveitchik said, well, he was a little oblivious of what was going on. So he screamed out loud through the microphone, will the kala please stretch out the palm of her hand? And the chassan will drop the ring into her hand. So the kala started to cry under the chuppah. They have to announce to the whole public that she didn't go to mikveh. So the boys didn't realize what it was. So the boy said, "Anuchumra, anushita, the rav has anushita." Instead of putting the ring on the girl's finger, you drop it into the bottom. It's because the girl obviously hadn't gone to mikveh. So what do you do? We do different forms of chuppah. So we mikveh, then we pass on chubas nidis. We try to avoid it because of the Rambam's pshat and the Gemara. But if you can't avoid it, you have it. Yeah, but we do a whole bunch of things for nisuin. So we do the badek, and we do some people put the talus over their heads. We have the canopy, and then we have the yichud. So ishta nida, kodim birishayna, there's an isa yichud. So you can't have yichud afterwards. So Rav Soloveitchik's practice was that he would allow this. He got from his father. He was choshish for the Rambam's opinion. He wasn't choshish for the Rambam that you don't do chupas nida. We have no choice. Sometimes we do chupas nida. They can't help themselves. But he was mekel on the yichud because there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, that Gemara, the beginning of Ksubas, that says if the kala was pirsei nida before bir rishayna, then hu yashim beinu anashim, he is shayna beinu anashim, the chosen should sleep with the men and the kala should sleep with the women. So there's a machlokes and rishonim over there. The Ravid and the Bali Anefesh has one shita, and the other rishonim disagree. So the Ravid holds it's not an isa yichud. The husband with ishta need, there's no isa yichud. There's a separate gzera. So the gzera only applies balayla. Balayla means when they're going to go to sleep. And you need a double shmiri. You need hu yashim ben anashim, hi yishenim ben anashim. But bayom, when they're not going to go to sleep, so there's no isa yichud. And other rishonim say, no, you don't need a double shmir. It's a din of yichud. They made an isa yichud ben rabbanon. Ishta nida, there's no isa yichud. Isha nida could be rishonim. There is an isa yichud. In fact, some hold that is deraisa. Some achreinim hold beferish. Dayan Grossman has a tshuva about this. There's such a maharam on the bottom of the Marsha and Sanhedrin and the Lamids, where he seems to assume that the Rebbe Yecheskel has, the Rebbe Yecheskel was a Rosh Yeshiva in Slabodka. He also has diukim like that, some poskim hold that the Issa, the Yichud, couldn't be a Rishayna. By Yishta Nida is an Issa, the Raisa, and it's an Issa Yichud. Yeah, so Rav Soloveitchik's practice would be, if it would be a Chupas Nida, he would have the Chasen Kala have Yichud afterwards. They wouldn't have a child in the room. They would have Yichud afterwards. And he can say, but they get married at night. So he said, the Ravid shita that Yichud is only also Balayla. Balayla means when they're going to sleep. But here they're not going to sleep. They're going to have a whole party. They have a few hundred people gathered together. They're going to have a whole suda with the orchestra, with the music, with the dancing and everything. So his practice would be that they would have the Yichud. Some have the practice that when you give over, the chosen gives the ksuba to the kala, you should have two edim watching. Why? Because the Gemara has a machlokes, but the edim is sira karsi, or edim is chasima karsi. We paskin, the Gemara in Gittin Dalar and the Gemara says, the kaimalon, edim is sira karsi. So you don't have edim is sira watching when you give over the ksuba, so it's not kind of. So the pashta says that this is all a mistake. Absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. There are two types of shtoris. There's a shtar kinyan and there's a shtar raya. So, and a shtar kinyan, that's a machlekes. There's a machlekes or rishonim, whether by shtar kinyan, there's a shtar kinyan. So, do you need edi chasim at all? Maybe paskan edi misirikasi, you don't even need edi chasim, amikir adin. So, that's a machlekes, hatanaim, Rav Meir and Rav Lozer, but edi chasim akars, edi misirikasi. But if you have a shtar raya, everyone agrees that you need Eide Chasima. If you don't have Eidim signed on a document, it's not going to be a Shtar Raya. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik said that by him it was a Dabar Pashut like that. There's such a Tosfos Rid in Bava Basra. Tosfos Rid writes explicit like that, but Rav Soloveitchik didn't know any Tosfos Rids. He taught his Dabar Pashut like that. If it's a Shtar Raya, of course he'd need Eide Chasima. You don't have Eide Chasima, or it's not Muchach Mitocha, so there's no Raya. The whole Machlokes HaTanaim is only if it's a Shtar Kinyan. What makes the Kinyan? So in Iksuba, the Nesibis writes Beferish. Iksuba is a shtar raya, it's not a shtar kinyan. Because they already made the kaninim in it, they already made a kabbalah's kinyan. The Iker Iksuba, the chosin is b'chuyif to give, I mean if he didn't give her a document, I mean if he didn't make a kabbalah's kinyan. But the Tosef is Iksuba, and the Nadunya, the extra amount over and above the 50 shkolim, the 50 shkolim is said is 10 times Pidyan Aben. Pidyan Aben is 5 shkolim, and today it's something close to $100. So 10 times Pidyon HaBen is something close to $1,000. That's the Iker Ksuba. But the rest, you add up the whole thing, the Ksuba adds up to something like $100,000, a fortune of money because of the Tosefes Ksuba and the Nedunya. So for that, the Chosen had to make a Kabbalah's Kinyan. So once he made the Kabbalah's Kinyan, the Chiyav is already there, and the document of the Ksuba is only a Shtar Raya. If they wouldn't have made the Kanina Mineh, if they wouldn't have made the Kabbalah's Kinyan, so then the shtar would have made the kinyan. Then it would have been a shtar kinyan to be kind of the hischaivus on the Tosefes and on the Nedunya. But they did make the Kabbalah's kinyan. So the chiyuv is already there. So the ksuba is only a shtar raya. And the shtar raya, nobody holds that the edi mesira karsi. That's ridiculous. So they say that Rav Moshe Feinstein used to require edim to watch when the chosin gives over the ksuba to the kala. And one occasion he was at a wedding, so he saw that Rav Shneur Kotler insisted. Is that the way the story goes? No. No, I think Rab Shneur Kotler was much younger than Rab Moshe Feinstein. Rab Shneur Kotler was at a wedding where Rab Moshe was Masadi Kedusha. Rab Moshe had, he called Adim to watch when the Chassan gives over the Ksuba to the Kala. So Rab Shneur Kotler asked him afterwards, why does he do that? It doesn't make any sense because the Ksuba is a Shtar Kinyan. So why do you need Adim Masira? So Moshe said he doesn't think it makes sense either, but he once saw Rabbi Aaron Kotler do it and he didn't understand it, but Rabbi Aaron Kotler did it, so he must have had a good reason. It doesn't really make sense. I don't require that. Rabbi Soloveitchik never required the Adim Masira when you give over the Ksuba. They say the reason why is because in case the Kiddushin wasn't Chala, he did the ring for some reason or another. So if the Ksuba was written L'shem Kiddushin, so the Shtar Ksuba can serve as Kiddusha Shtar. But by yes, the Ksuba is printed already. Most of the Ksubas are printed. It's not written L'shmo. You just fill in the names. You can't use the Ksuba as a Shtar Kiddushin. The Pnei Yeshua in the Kuntri Sachran on the first perek in Ksuba is bothered with the kasha. Medina de Gemara, you certainly do not require bichas erisin ala yayin. Some had the gears in the Gemara that you require bichas nisuin ala kos. Different gears the Rosh has there. But bichas erisin ala kos, that was only instituted in the days of the Goyim. So the problem is like this. If I say bar pi agofen, you want to drink some wine, I'm going to say bar pi agofen for you. You're not your. If we're all drinking wine together, then I can say bar pi agofen. Let's say I'll say hamoitzi on Shabbos and Yontav. I say hamoitzi, and everybody sitting around the table is yotze because hey sebu, we're all sitting around the table. So the Gemara says pas and yayin. One person can say the bracha for the others because the whole chabur is only mukhif to say the bracha once. But if I'm not drinking wine, you're drinking wine, I'm going to say bar pi agofen for you. So I cannot do that. Kiddush on Shabbos, the Gemara says, even if I already made Kiddush, I already finished eating. Someone comes and he doesn't know how to say Kiddush. I can say the Kiddush for him. I can say the Bar Pi Agofen for him. The Ramah Paskins, even Kiddush in the morning on Shabbos, not only Kiddush on Friday night, that the Bar Pi Agofen comes in conjunction with the Kiddush. So Agav, the Kiddush, he can even be Moitzi, the other person with the Bar Pi Agofen, even though you're not drinking. But even Shabbos morning, that the Bar Pi Agofen stands alone. It doesn't even come with another bracha. Just Pete. The meaning is, he say psukim shamro zochon sam Shabbos lekach, but that's only minhagim. So really, the whole Kiddush Shabbos one just consists of the Bar Pi Agofen. So the Ramah says also, you say yotza moitzi. I can say the Bar Pi Agofen for the others. Rabbi Kivega there quotes that the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva hold that, but the Ramah got it from the Tosfos and Psochim, the last pair. The Ritva disagrees that only when Kiddush, the Bar Pi Agofen comes together with Kiddush, then you can be moitzi the others with the Bar Pi Agofen. When it's Shabbos morning, Bar Pi Agofen stands alone, you cannot be moitzi. So that's the kasha that the Pnei Yeshua asks over here. The rabbi says Bar Pi Agofen, then he says Bichas Erisin. So the Bichas Erisin is moitzi the chasen. But the Bar Pi Agofen ala kos, it's only a minik hagoinim. Medina the Gemara, there is no such thing. So how can the rabbi be moitzi the chasen kala with the Bar Pi Agofen if he's not drinking along with them? That's the Pnei Yeshua's kasha in the Kuntri Sachar. So some had the practice that the rabbi would take a little sip of wine. Rab Chaim had the practice, but he did it always in an inconspicuous fashion. So Rab Simcha Zelig told this over to the author of the Sefer Afike Yam. He says Rab Chaim did it. Rab Simcha Zelig always watched everything Rab Chaim did, and he followed everything. But he said this he never noticed. Rab Chaim told it to him that he always is careful to tip the cup of wine in such a way that some of the wine will fall on his finger. When he gives the cup of wine to the Chasen Kala, he would lick his finger in an inconspicuous fashion because of this kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. But the common practice is not so. Rav Soloveitchik never did it. And Rav Elbala also, yes, Rav Elbala, why doesn't he do that? So he says he never saw that his father did that chumrah. Simcha Zelig says he never saw it either, but he says Rav Chaim told him that he does it, he wants to do it in an inconspicuous fashion because the meaning was not so. So one of the members of the board of Alojan Yeshiva, one of the early Mesmochim, Rabbi Yosef Slutska, I think his name is Rabbi Yosef Paimer. He was from the city Slutsk. He was a wild kid when he was young, and then he disappeared as a teenager. He said he's going to go learn in Alojan. They thought he was crazy. He was such a wild kid. And then when Volozhin, and then when Slutska needed a rabbi, they came to Rab Chaim Volozhin. So he sent him Rabbi Yosef Slutska. they couldn't believe it. This kid who was such a wild Indian, he became one of the big Gedolim. So he was on the board of Aloshin. He was on the board. I think when they had the big Dine Torah with the Beis Halevi and Rab Chaim, he was part of the Bezin, because the board of Aloshin consisted of alumni of the yeshiva who are prominent Rabbonim. So he has a collection of tshuvas that was printed by Machon Yerushalayim around 50 years ago. So he writes in his tshuva, the minig is that you don't spill the wine in the end. The minig is that you say, since the minig developed in the days of the Gaonim, that we treat Birchas Erusin like a bracha al hakos, we say Bar Piagofen, so you can be mitzi the chasen kal even if you don't drink the wine yourself. Okay, these are some of the things you should have in mind when you get married and when you attend a wedding. Maybe next week, maybe the next week or two, maybe we'll go through Hilchas Chanukah. Okay, Sunday morning, we will continue in Psochim. Everyone should be healthy. Have a good Shabbos.